Bless this word, anoint it to our hearts, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First of all, I want to say that God is challenging us by faith to do things that seem to be a little bit out of the box. And that's okay. You know, people do a lot of extreme things to get notoriety. Have you ever heard of things called extreme sports? Where people almost break their necks or risk their life to do something extreme in order to get a medal or in order to be the best in the world. God often will stretch us and push us out of our comfort zone because God is not interested in, you know, us getting a medal, so to speak, or gaining notoriety in this world. But what he's interested in doing is spreading his kingdom and his love and his joy all around the world. And he has no other hands but our hands. He has no other feet but our feet. He uses our lips, our mouth, all of us, ordinary people, to spread his joy. We had a sense of that yesterday when we went out walking. I know that some of you weren't here. And again, no guilt. Don't get on a guilt trip. There'll be another opportunity. Everybody say, there'll be another opportunity. But we had so much fun. We had so much fun. I was just walking. We were in Forest Ridge, right? Forest Ridge over here. There were 7 different communities that we walked in around the church. And within about 2 minutes of starting to, all of a sudden, I got this rush of the joy of God. I'm serious. I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. I felt the smile of God. I felt his pleasure. I felt his presence with me. It was like he was saying, this is good. This makes me happy that you're getting out there. You're getting the word out there. We've had the same feeling when we started the campus ministry at UCF. We started walking around the campus. We felt so excited. We also felt a little bit scared. And that's okay. Because, you know, by faith, we stepped out in faith. And God blessed us. There's some things that are worth stepping out for. Amen? There's some things where love compels you. When you know it's the right thing to do, you go against your comfort zone. Not comfortable to have to work hard and bring home a paycheck and pay the bills and get up at 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning or 5. Some of you here get up at 4 in the morning. Not easy, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. Amen? And as Christians, guess what? Believers and Christians should be doing what comes naturally, spiritually to them as well. What's spiritually part of our DNA. We should be doing those things. And spreading the joy of knowing Jesus is one of them. And that's what my message is about today. It's called Spreading the Joy of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely to the killing of Stephen. This is when the persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts. How many of you know the story? Are you familiar with it? A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, now notice this, except the apostles, were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Stop for a second there. Jesus had promised them that when the Holy Spirit would come upon the church, they would become what? His witnesses. He says, you know, behold, I give you power to be a witness. When the Holy Spirit comes, he shall come upon you, and you shall be my witness in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But up until this point, they were still gathered in a huddle in Jerusalem. And the apostles, interestingly, were not the ones who were scattered. It was the ordinary believer. Did you notice that? Let me go back and read it. A great wave of persecution began that day. Can you put it up again, Matthew? Sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Is it possible that the people were relying so much on the apostles that God had to kind of stir up the nest and get them out of the nest and say, hey, you guys that are ordinary believers, you guys in the pews, it's not just the work of the apostles. All of you can be my witnesses. All of you can spread this joy. Hallelujah. All of you can be missionaries. Hallelujah. I believe it's God's calling that the church, every ordinary believer, be missional. It's a new word that they've coined in the last, 50 years or whatever. But it just means that every one of us is a witness. Every one of us is a missionary. We're maybe not a full-time missionary going to Tanzania or someplace, but we are missionaries wherever we go. And then in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, Acts chapter 8, 4 and 5, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Everybody say, wherever they went. Philip, for example, he was one of the original deacons, one of the seven. He went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Here's a man who started out serving tables and helping with the widows and being a deacon in the church, just doing ordinary stuff. But God had a call on his life. Hallelujah. God had more for Philip. Maybe there's some Philips in the house this morning. Maybe one of you is, God's putting his hand on your shoulder and say, I've got more for you. And he scatters the church and he allows Philip to go down to Samaria. And there Philip began to teach people about Jesus. And when you have time, you could read the story. There was a revival that broke out because Philip obeyed God and went where he was led by God. And wherever he went, he brought Jesus with him. Amen? And then down in verse 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 8, it says, so there was great joy in that city. So Philip was a carrier. Everybody say, I'm a carrier. You know how sometimes we spread things like colds and flus? That's when you don't want to be a carrier. You don't want to share. My wife and I tease her all the time. I say, I believe in sharing, But when you have a cold or a flu, you say, okay, honey, you don't have to hug me right now. It's okay. Throw me a kiss, Throw one across the room. But certain things you want to be a carrier. And God gave me this message this week. That catalyst, we are meant to be carriers. Carriers of joy. Carriers of truth. Carriers of the love of Christ. Carriers of the message of forgiveness. Wherever we go, we can bring peace. The Bible says, how blessed are the feet of those who bring peace. We're meant to be carriers of peace. And grace and love and mercy and all the graces of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when that happens, joy breaks out. Amen. How many of you know some places around this community that could use some joy? Amen. Woo, yeah, big time. Why don't you become a joy bell? All right, Pastor, now you're getting corny. Angela said that was corny. The joy we felt yesterday in our prayer walk. I believe the Lord is saying there's a message there for the ordinary person. Because wherever you go, wherever you are, you're not just there because you decided to, but because God determined the places and the boundaries where you should live and what family you should be in, and what job you should have. And if you're a contractor like our brother, see what customers you should visit. Those are all appointed by God. Or if you should live in Kissimmee, amen, at the Reef Club, like the Lopez family. You are a light wherever you go. I'm a carrier of the joy of Jesus. I can't be ordinary because the Holy Spirit is with me. In one sense, we're ordinary because we don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to have a degree in theology. So you could say we're ordinary in that sense. But we are extraordinary when we're Spirit-filled. Amen. Hallelujah. When you've got Jesus on the inside of you, you got what the world needs. You have a treasure in you that the world needs. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, I want to tell you, the church is not meant to be a holy huddle. Super Bowl Sunday. Come on now. But let me tell you something. They don't pay $2,500. I looked it up on the internet. Average ticket price for Super Bowl today in Atlanta, $2,500 to $3,000. All right? That's why you're all in church and not in Atlanta today. Let me tell you something. Those fans, listen now, listen to this. Those fans don't pay upwards of $3,000 to watch a huddle. They pay $3,000 because they expect their team to accomplish a victory. They expect their team to perform. They expect their team to be heroic and amazing and win the victory and raise up the trophy, the Super Bowl trophy. Hallelujah. That's what they expect. And they'll pay a lot of money for that. But we've got something that the world doesn't have to pay for. And it's better than a Super Bowl trophy. Hallelujah. We've got a gospel that sets people free. We have a message, hallelujah, that brings hope to lost people. And Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You don't have to have any money. And Isaiah said, come and buy milk and buy food without cost. God gives freely. Freely you have received, freely give. Thank you that the gospel is free. It costs God a lot, but it's free for us to pass on to others. We need to spread the word just like the early church. What the devil intended to shut down the church actually ended up growing the church. Woo, come on now. You are, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a strategic carrier. Go out with the gospel wherever you go. Let me show you another scripture. This is in Acts 11 to show this strategy that God used. Acts 11 verses 19 to 21. Now those who had been scattered, remember, they were the ordinary believers, not the apostles. Those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews at first. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now you got the gospel going to all of these strategic places because these ordinary people were sent out as carriers of the light. Not the apostles initially, but the believers, they were sent. Every one of us is really sent by God. And by the way, let me just put in a little plug here for the get-together on the 23rd called The Sent at Camping World Sent. It's going to be a fairly big get-together. They're expecting 60,000 people. So what it's about is praying that the Holy Spirit will give the anointing for evangelism to the church. So, Brother Lanre, I think we're right on target with the evangelism ministry. We're right on target because the Holy Spirit is emphasizing this throughout the body of Christ. We're going to have 60,000 people, God willing, on February 23rd, praying for whatever, 10, 12 hours, and asking God to anoint us to not just be called, but now to be sent. See, the first part of that was we're called. But now they're saying it's time for us to go out. We're sent. We're sent. There's somebody out there that needs you. Hallelujah. John 20, verse 20 and 21. After Jesus' resurrection, he spoke. He showed up. The disciples were meeting behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And Jesus appeared. He said to them, peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with what? They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Say it together, church. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so I am sending you. We're all sent. Being missional should be a part of your nature. I saw the most interesting illustration of this. You're going to love this. You ever go to a house where you, for the first time you're meeting a family and there's little children there? This is so fun. And I've had this happen to me many times when I visit people. There's kids, you know, they're playing and they're running around having fun. And the first thing they do is they come up to you. You want to play with my Legos? You want to play, you know, action figures with me? Or like my grandson had one of those zapper things that shoots little sponge darts. A Nerf gun. Yes, a Nerf gun. Come on, Poppy, play Nerf gun with me. You know, I had the, what do they call that? The saber from Star Wars. Yeah, I had the Star Wars saber. And he's shooting me with all these things. I'm getting killed. Come on, Poppy, you want to play? Why is it that children have no fear, no inhibition about bringing you into their little joy? The first thing they do, it's part of the nature. It's part of their nature. They want to share with you. You could be a complete stranger. Come on, you want to play Legos or whatever? And, you know, I love this illustration because it says that as children of God, it should be as simple as that. Saying to somebody across the office from us or somebody at work or somebody at school or wherever we are, do you want to know a little bit about the joy that I have? Can I tell you for a few minutes about the joy that I have found in knowing Jesus? And I've got to do a better job too. So don't get mad at me, church, because I'm not scoring 100 on this yet. So pastors needs this message too. Come on. For full disclosure is important. Amen. There was a Chinese pastor who was listening to a young man who had just become converted to Christ. And the pastor said to him, how many people have you spoken to about Jesus? He says, oh, nobody. He says, I'm brand new. He says, I've only been saved 3 months. So the pastor said to him, let me ask you a question. When does a candle light? He says, well, when you light it with a match. And when does the light shine? He says, right away. He says, then as long as you have been empowered and you have received the light of Christ, shine wherever you are. Amen? Amen. Amen. You don't have to wait even 3 months. Praise God. You can shine just like those little children and share your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Everywhere we go, people need a Savior. You don't have to worry about any market, you know, market testing, market analysis, who's your target group. You know, they do these surveys, what's the target market and all of that thing, demographics. We have a market everywhere. Wherever there's people need a Savior. Yesterday, you may have seen the news. A TSA officer committed suicide, jumped from the balcony at the airport, the Hyatt Hotel, into the lobby in front of children from the 10th floor. They believe it was a suicide because there was no other motive. And it just confused. 45 flights were delayed. It was a big item on the news yesterday. And what struck me is my wife showed me the article. There was a man who they were interviewing. His name was James Shaw. He was there with his children. They were having a dance recital. So he had come to Orlando for his daughters, I presume. They were having a dance recital. Here's what he said. He says, I walked right by this man on the 10th floor. I was no more than four feet away from him. And I reasoned to myself that maybe he's there for a reason. He saw him on the ledge of the balcony on the 10th floor of the lobby. How many of you know what I'm talking? You've been to the airport. The Hyatt Hotel has a lobby there in this hotel rooms all around the lobby. And here's what he said. He said, I reasoned to myself that maybe he's there for some reason. Now, if somebody is on a ledge of a balcony looking down at the crowd, you know, it's a far stretch to say they're there for a normal reason. But we can't judge that man. We don't know. But here's what he said to himself. I'll never forget these words. I can't believe I didn't say anything to him. I was no more than 4 feet away from him. When I got to the bottom floor, I heard the sound of his body hitting the ground. People need the Lord. Statistics in the U.S. alone, only 1/3 of people surveyed said they're happy with their lives. Only 17%, no surprise here, say they're happy with the way things are going in our country. That's pretty obvious. More than 24 million Americans over 12 years old are using illegal drugs. Over 70,000 Americans will die this year from some kind of drug abuse. Suicide rates are at a 30-year high. People between the ages of 45 to 64, the suicide rate has increased 53%. And financially, 76% of American households are living paycheck to paycheck. As we were walking yesterday in those communities, we were getting impressions from the Holy Spirit. Some was, Lord, pray for the children in this family. Lord, we pray for sickness. This, my wife discerned that one household, they may have been battling with sickness. I was praying for one house, and I said, Lord, there may be a financial crisis going on in here. Let them turn to you, God. Don't let them become despondent, O Lord. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, people need the treasure that we have. Hallelujah. They need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. Friends, are you with me this morning? I need this message for myself. Everywhere I go, people need a Savior. People need a shepherd. How many of you have friends who have been misguided by somebody or something? We need a shepherd who's an honest shepherd, a good shepherd. A shepherd who's willing to lay down his life. Some people have put their hopes in a husband, or they put their hopes in a business, or they put their hopes in their boss, or they put their hope in their girlfriend or their boyfriend. But I want to tell you, Jesus is a true friend. Can you say amen? He's a friend who will never leave you. He has your back. He has your back. That's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. Needs a God who is dependable and unchanging and amazing and gives you a reason for living. This morning, I don't know who you are or what you've been through, but I can tell you that Jesus gives a real reason for living. I believe God is renewing his commission over our lives today to reach the great harvest of human souls. In the Phillips translation of the Bible, Jesus now traveled throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of illness and disability. As he looked at the vast crowds, he was moved with pity for them, for they were bewildered and miserable as a flock of sheep without a shepherd. There are a lot of sheep out there without a shepherd. Can you say amen this morning? The great commission of Christ has never been rescinded. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to obey all the things I have commanded you, making disciples of every nation. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And in closing, I want to give you just 3 or 4 quick pointers, suggestions on how we can do a better job. And again, as I said, this is good advice for myself as well. Number one, be friendly towards people. It's so easy to carry around your burdens, your problems, your headaches, your heartaches, and have a face that looks like it's been run over by a truck. Come on now. I told you that story about these people who were witnessing on the street corner, handing out tracts, and we've gone over this in our evangelism training class. A lot of people go out to witness out of guilt or for the wrong motivation. We're not motivated by guilt. We must be motivated by love. We must be motivated to be sincere. And not everybody is as outgoing. It's God works within your personality. God's not trying to change you into a Reinhard Bonnke or somebody like that, you know. God works within the calling and the personality that you have. But we have to be outwardly focused. And these two men were giving out tracts, and they didn't look too happy. And somebody gave them the tract back. He says, here, I don't want what you have. Because if this is going to give me what you have, I don't want to catch it. We need to smile a little bit more, amen? Be friendly. Don't live in a religious bubble. Just remember, the people that you are among, the people you rub shoulders with, is not an accident. God says that we are carriers of His light. We are meant to spread His joy, the joy of knowing Jesus. So be friendly. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. You know, there were those who, seemed obvious, like Zacchaeus, who was a cheat and a tax collector, the woman of Samaria. And then there were other people who felt like, you know, they had it all together. They didn't commit any crimes. They were, good, upstanding citizens like the Pharisees. But Jesus called them out as well because they were religious hypocrites. So be friendly towards all kinds of people. Number two, let the Father's love come through your voice, your face, your smile, your touch, your words, your actions. Arguing with people will never win them to Christ. Are you with me, church? God didn't call us to argue about doctrines. You got to start with the basics. You know, Jesus loves you. He gave His life for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins. When you know Him, you'll experience His peace. You'll experience His love and His joy. Simple. Very simple. Jesus wants you to know Him. And then, number three, have a vision like Jesus for what people can become. How many times have we met somebody and said, boy, there is that somebody who's totally lost. There's no hope for that person. You'd be surprised who Jesus calls. I mean, nobody would have given any hope for Mary Magdalene. She had 7 demons cast out of her. You know, she was definitely not going to be on the front cover of the Woman magazine of the year, you know, the Citizen of the Year. But Jesus picked her. And she was the one who was at the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. She was the one who first saw Him resurrected from the dead. A woman who was a cast-off, a woman who nobody else would have paid any attention to or maybe run from. But if you have a vision, you can begin to call out and pray what you see in that person. God's been showing me this more recently, that we have the ability, the anointing, to believe, and through that belief, we can call out what we see, pray out what we see in that person. You know, you may be a rough guy, Peter, but I see a rock. Peter, you're very fickle. You're always getting in trouble. You're always putting your foot in your mouth. But I see somebody that you're going to help me build my church. Wow. He had a faith vision. Jesus had a vision for Peter's life. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for the people around you that they can become Christians? You got to believe it. You got to call it out in prayer. Lord, I believe so-and-so is meant for the kingdom of God. The devil may have his hand on him right now, but God, I'm claiming him for the kingdom of God. Satan, take your hands off of him in Jesus' name. I'm believing you, Lord. Do simple things. Number four, do simple things like write down their name. Put it on a card. Sometimes we're going to do that in the spring. We're going to put names in this prayer box like we did before. People that we're praying for. plead with God for the purpose he has for their life to be fulfilled. Pray that you will have the eyes of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. When you see people, and I've been guilty of this too, so often I get annoyed. Simple things like just being stuck in traffic. Right, Jerry? We were talking about this yesterday. Simple things. But we have a joy that the world cannot give, and the world cannot take it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, friends? Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The joy of spreading his message. The joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of telling others. I pray that you will never lose that joy. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? God, we pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would bring this message home by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Starting with myself, Lord, we all can improve in this area, Lord, of being carriers of your message, spreading your word wherever we go, Lord. In order to do that, Lord, we're going to have to leave some other things aside. We're going to have to put our fears aside, put the intimidation aside, put the insecurity aside, the low self-esteem, put it aside. For the sake of Jesus, I will go. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here who will say with me, Pastor, for the sake of Jesus, I will go. Put your hand up. For the sake of Jesus, I'll go to my neighbor. I'll go to my friend at work. I'll go and I'll start praying. Maybe that person has hurt me. Maybe they're persecuting me, just like they persecuted the church. But that doesn't stop me from putting their name in my prayer journal. Hallelujah. That doesn't stop the power of God from reaching them. Hallelujah. When Nikki Cruz first met David Wilkerson, he spit at him. Are you with me, friends? First time Nikki Cruz, who is now a worldwide evangelist, met David Wilkerson in the Teen Challenge program, he had a knife. He said, I'll cut you in pieces. He spit at him. If you come near me, preacher, I'll cut you to pieces. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And David Wilkerson said to Nikki Cruz, if you cut me in pieces, every piece will cry out, Jesus loves you. Nikki Cruz couldn't stand that kind of love. He broke. The love of God won him over. The love of God won him over. It broke down all the witchcraft that was in his family. His parents had cursed him. He was in one of the worst gangs in New York City. And now for the last 40 years, he's been preaching the gospel all around the world. Somebody say amen. What amazing grace. Hallelujah.
I could almost hear like someone's voice saying, God, you know I would go, but there are these obstacles in my way. If you'll remove the obstacles first, then I'll go. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes we have to just obey and step out and then let the Lord clear the obstacles away and give us power to overcome them. Yesterday when we came to prayer walk, my heart was so heavy. I had such a burden on my heart, and I just didn't know what to do. And it was like the Lord said, keep going forward. Keep doing what I tell you to do, and then put the rest in my hands. And I kid you not that while we were walking, God was working on the situation. He did something that I could have never done by just worrying about it. So trust him. Step out, not capriciously, not foolishly, but at his command. And then let him make the path straight. Let him. It says he being in the way, the Lord led him. Sometimes we have to be moving in order to get direction. If we're just standing still, it's very, very hard. So I just pray. And may I just pray for that? Or do you have something else you want to say?
I would like us to maybe all say a prayer together. Yeah. Thank you for that word. I appreciate the way the Holy Spirit is underscoring certain truths this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, this is a work in our heart, oh God, that has to be done first. We have to love people that you love. We have to love them more than we love our comfort. We have to love you, Lord, more than we love ourselves. So let's just say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, help me today to be a carrier of your love. Your light. Your truth. In a dark and hurting world. There are people everywhere who need what I have. This grace that's in me. This forgiveness that I've found. This joy that I've found. I want to spread it, Lord. I want to ignite others, O Lord. With the truth and the fire of God. May a flame burn in the church. In my family, Lord. All the dross be burnt up, Lord. Let my family be on fire for God, Lord. Help me, Lord, for personal revival, Lord. In my own life, Lord. I need personal revival, Lord. Personal cleansing, Lord. A new way of thinking, Lord. A new season. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.